Everybody, welcome here. Good to see you all. So just a few thoughts before we get started, just to give you an idea where we're headed as well. A couple weeks is Easter Sunday, which is awesome. And we have the Good Friday service as well before that. So I want to encourage you to invite people to the service, to the Good Friday service, neighbors, friends, families that are far from Christ. Generally speaking, around Easter and Christmas, people are very open to attending church. And we talked about this before, how we want to create a culture of invitation here at our church. And so think through who you can invite and pray into that as well, because it's just a really important time for us to be able to invite people to hear about the resurrection Christ and what he's done for us and Good Friday as well. So keep that in mind as we enter this exciting season, because it's a highlight for us, isn't it? And we should be anticipating Easter with a lot of hope and joy, and I hope that you are and are considering that. So just a couple things to want to mention before we get into the sermon. Pastor Ryan is a new pastor at the CRC Church here in town, just behind us actually, right across the park. So we've been meeting a couple times. We've had coffee. We've prayed together a couple times as well. So just want to welcome him and his family into the community. So if you know anybody from that church, or if you want to pop in and say hi to him, I'm sure he'd appreciate that. Just a welcome into the area. Also, I spoke at Cowboy Church this past Tuesday, and I want to confirm and verify the rumors are true. There are cowboys there. So just so you're aware of that. So it was good to be there and to experience what they do. It's a neat community. Who's been to Cowboy Church? Yeah, it's really pretty neat to see the people gathered there, and there was just some really good worship, the hymns that they were singing. There's a lady that was using this instrument. I don't know what it's called, but it had buttons up front, and it was just amazing to see her play that. So it was a blessing to be there with my family as well. And so we've been in this series, a short mini-series on parenting, family life and parenting. And so if you haven't heard all the messages, I encourage you to go online and listen to them. It's been a really good conversation for us to have as a church. And again, qualify this as well. This isn't just for people with young kids or young adults. It's for everyone that has children in their life, even as they're older children as well. So let's keep that in mind. We've been talking about discipleship and what does that mean for us in our families? What is the role the parents take, especially fathers, when it comes to discipling our kids and young adults as well, as we think about that? And we've talked about how it's important for kids to honor their parents as well, and that parents, we should not exasperate our children when it comes to discipline. So today we're wrapping it up. It's going to be a shorter conversation today, but just wanted to set the table a little bit as we talk about what it means to be content as well, because as we think about contentment and focusing this back to Christ, and it all starts with Jesus. Everything we talk about starts and ends with Jesus in the scriptures. And we wanted to reflect on our own hearts today and where you are at as a parent and as a Christ follower. And if you are here this morning or whether you're watching online, we want to encourage you to consider this. How content are we when it comes to our life and where God has placed us? And what can we learn from the scripture? So I'll be reading out of Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. And the verses should be on the screen. If you have your Bible or your device, you can turn there as well with me as well. Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through him who gives me strength. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's writing this letter to thank the people that have supported him financially and through a gift as well, and the generosity of the Philippian church and the Christians who came and supported Paul and his missionary work. And he recognizes that this church has been very helpful in his ministry, and there's a sincere interest in what he is doing from this church. And what's neat, too, is Paul also recognizes that even without the financial support, this church would continue to support him as well. And it's a real good picture of what it looks like for the church to come alongside somebody like that. Now, when we think about these scriptures here too, and when Paul is going through what he's going through, now he's under house arrest. There's a lot going on in Paul's life. And if you have an opportunity to discover about Paul and his life and the way he lived, it's a real testimony about how the Lord has used him in so many ways. And he is saying thank you to this church for what they have done for him. And he wanted to show also that he was humble and content in what was going on in his life. And Paul was very focused in his ministry. And he was very content in what was going on as well, considering all the circumstances he faced in his life. And Paul went through a lot. And the great thing about contentment for us as we consider this, it's not an automatic mindset for us. It's not something we are easily good at. And it's not necessarily natural for us, but it's something we need to commit to. It's something we need to decide to be content with. And it's a learned skill. And Paul himself has a variety of ministry experiences in different situations where he had times in his life where he was in need. There are times often where Paul had to find joy in his circumstances. Now, I want to tie this together as we think about our parenting and what it means to be a parent, what it means to be a Christ follower. Where does joy fall into our lives? How content are we with our circumstances? Now, writing from a Roman imprisonment, he was in a great time of need, as we know about the Apostle Paul. Again, if you don't know much about him, I encourage you to read about him. And he expresses joy in the midst of some terrible circumstances. Now, how well do we do that in our life? How well do we choose joy? Because joy is this attitude of steadfastness in the Lord. It's not based upon happiness. Happiness is based upon circumstances, and we might feel good for a while, but joy is this attitude, and we're steadfast in the Lord. And regardless of the shifting winds of life, we will have joy in our life because we are focused on Christ. Now, as we think about this, for Paul, he went through many things, and he was imprisoned many times, and he continually had to learn how to be content. He didn't focus on his circumstances. He focused on Jesus. And so Paul wasn't speaking in theory, was he? He was speaking out of real hardship in his life. And I would consider Paul to have a PhD when it came to tragedy in his life. And perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps as a parent, perhaps as a Christ follower, perhaps as life today, you can consider yourself having a PhD in life because you've gone through so much. And you've struggled through so much. And Paul endured many, many things in his life. And I'm not going to cover it all this morning, but some things to consider in service for Christ. He was flogged on 5 different occasions. He was stoned a few times. He was shipwrecked 3 other times. And there's other things as well that Paul went through. And you can read a lot of that through 2 Corinthians. So I encourage you to do that. Now, under house arrest again, Paul alludes to this something that is vital. He talks about the secret about being content. Now, the secret's pretty clear. It's in Scripture. It's a secret he is willing to share, and that secret is to be tied to Jesus. Now, again, Paul went without food many times. There are other times he lived with very little in his life. He didn't have a lot, and he was hungry, he was thirsty, and he was without friends. And you look at the Scriptures here I read in Philippians 4, and it starts off, I love what it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Now, he's talking about the church here. He's saying thank you to the church. But the word there is I rejoice. He's rejoicing in what is going on. And for us, how well do we rejoice? How well do we rejoice in the Lord? How well do we rejoice with the body of Christ when it comes to our lives, when we face circumstances that are above and beyond what we can handle? And he goes on to say, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. What is to be in need? I know what it is to have plenty. And perhaps you've been in a life where you know what it's like to be needy, or you're struggling as a parent, you're struggling as a Christ follower, and what does it mean to bring up my children in the ways of the Lord? How do I do that? How well do I do that? And am I actually content with where God has placed me? I've heard oftentimes other families comparing themselves to other families, wishing they were more like them, or watching things on Facebook and social media and look at all these great pictures online. I wish I was like them. And little do we know, 5 minutes before that picture was taken, they were fighting. And then 2 minutes after the picture was done, they were fighting some more. I can relate to that. I've been there as a family. We've put pictures on Facebook before, and I remember vividly we were having an argument as a family. 2 seconds literally before, and we put it on, we're all smiling. And after we had this conversation going, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? What are we portraying? And I think we've all been there. And we can look at other people's lives, we can look at other people's families, we can look at other people's kids and parenting styles and wonder, man, I just don't have it that good. I wish I was more like, I wish my kids were more like. We can talk about that in many circumstances in our life. I wish my job was more like, I wish my bank account had more money compared to, and we can go on and on and on about how we can compare ourselves to other people. But Paul, again, lived a life full of disaster, full of heavy circumstances. And yet he says what? He is content. He is content. How content are you this morning in the life that God has placed you in? How content are you with the choices you've made? I think there's things we shouldn't be content about, though. I don't think we should be content about how much we read the scriptures. I don't think we should be content about how many people are coming to faith. I don't think we should be content about how the church is growing. I think we should be content on other things, but we got to be careful about what we're focusing on. And as we think about these verses, there's one verse that sticks out in here that we've all heard, and I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, this is a verse that you see everywhere, don't you? You can see it on posters. You can see it on keychains, on buttons, on t-shirts, on stickers, on postcards, on bracelets and handbags. Many athletes use this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they use this scripture, and it's been tossed around for many, many years about this scripture in particular. And I've seen football players with the verses under their eyes. I've seen basketball players have the scripture on their shoes. And I've seen people take the scripture and in isolation and out of context, they think that with Jesus, anything is possible no matter what. Let's be clear. Yes, God can do the impossible. But in the context of this verse, what Paul is alluding to here is to endure our life through Christian persecution when it comes to us, when others attack us from the world, and also in hardship, that we're able to do all things through Christ who gives us strength. It isn't this wonder verse where all of a sudden it's going to give us superpowers. And context matters. And Paul is referring to this idea that when hardship comes, when persecution comes, we must endure and we must be content in Christ. It doesn't talk about this idea when this verse is often taken out of context that it's about empowering ourselves that we can do anything because we are saved. See, Christ can do whatever he chooses to do. And the gospel teaches that nothing is impossible with God. But in the context of the scripture, let's understand it means but enduring through persecution and hardship. So when you hear that verse next time, when you hear it this morning, how well are you doing that? The Old Testament has talked about how nothing is too hard for the Lord. Jeremiah talked about that. Job talked about that. Nothing is too hard for our God. And do we know that this morning when it comes to following Christ, when it means to being a parent in this world that we live in? How well do we endure hardship? How well do we endure persecution as well? See, God can provide us what we need. And I believe God has provided what we need exactly this morning. And perhaps you're looking at your life this morning. If you were to take a cup, and some of us look at a cup half full, and some of us might say it's half full, others might say it's half empty. Our perspectives are different depending on our life experience. And I think we have to understand that for us, Jesus gives us strength. And we should be content in where God has placed us. As a parent this morning, as a child that has parents as well, how well do we do that? How content are we with God has placed that and the abundance of our lives and where he has put us this morning. We've talked lots about what it means to be a parent in this world, what it means to show our children the way of the Lord. And I often wonder, when we think about our parenting and our own lives, I think it's really imperative for all of us, and especially as parents, to start here, to start with our own heart with Jesus. And that's for all of us in this room, for those watching online as well. How content are you with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What does that look like in your day-to-day life? What does that look like in the joy of the Lord? What does that look like when you face circumstances that are beyond your control? Do you trust the character of God? Do you trust that God has you where you are? Even though there's people in your life perhaps have made choices that have impacted you, and those choices they've made are possibly sinful choices. Perhaps you've made some sinful choices this morning in your life today. And you are where you are because of your own choices. Let's be clear about that. And yet, as we think about our life and how we live, regardless of the choices we've made, God is still journeying with us. And that's where we come with a heart of repentance, a heart of forgiveness, and confession as well. See, I think one of the things that we struggle with in this world is that when we look at our lives and we look at our circumstances, we don't know the secret of being content, even though Scripture clearly tells us. And that secret is Jesus. That's all I can say this morning. You can go home right now. It's Jesus. But where are you at this morning? Not just as a parent, but as a Christ follower. How content are you with your circumstances? Have you looked at it through the lens of joy? Have you looked at it through the lens of eternity to understand that, yeah, my life is hard today. My life as a parent has been brutal. My children have disobeyed me. My children have not honored me. I've exasperated my children. And perhaps you need to go back and make some things right. And I've talked about this before, where we've challenged each one of us to ask our children, no matter where they are on the age spectrum, how well we have done as parents, and is there anything we need to apologize for and ask for forgiveness? How well are we doing this morning? How content are you with your kids? I know sometimes you're thinking, this morning, maybe not so much. But how content are you with your children? Because it's easy to play the comparison game. I said this before in the series that we started, that our children are a blessing. They are a gift from God. And you children, as parents you have as well, they are a gift of God as well. And I think one of the challenges for parents, we have this desire to be perfect. We have this desire to raise our children in such a way that it can cause us anxiety and stress and hardship, because we want so desperately to be such a good parent. And a reminder for all of us, there's much grace and mercy, because each one of us has made a mistake as a parent. We get to allow the Lord to lead us through that, to say there's grace in that, there's mercy in that. See, God expects a lot out of us as parents. The bar is high. But the bar cannot be attained by our own strength. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the main focuses we've talked a lot about in this series is the idea of going, how well are we allowing our children to understand who Christ is? How well have we raised the bar, and are we allowing them to get there with encouragement, with prayer, with the Scriptures? I asked you last week about sharing your testimony if you're a parent and how you came to faith, and sharing that with your kids, no matter how old they are. And if you don't have children, share your testimony with someone. Talk about what Christ has done in your life. See, when we tell our story, that will always allow us to be centered on Christ and show us how content we need to be. When I was at Cowboy Church on Tuesday, I was sitting there listening, and we were singing, and I was reflecting as I was about to go preach. I was just thinking through my thoughts, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, how am I at a Cowboy Church preaching the word?" Literally, I said that. I was reflecting on my journey when I came to faith when I was 21 years old. And here I am in Edson, preaching at a cowboy church. The Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? I would never have thought that in my wildest dreams. And in that moment, as I was sitting there, I was so grateful for my journey, for where God has placed me. And in that moment, I was very content. I was very content. I think I'm very content in my life. Do I wish certain things were better? Yes, I do. However, when I look at my circumstance and look at my life today, I could be in a much worse place. I've often reflected on my life before Christ. And I'm so grateful for Jesus. I am so grateful for Jesus. And I mentioned this before as we went through the series, and I remind you as well, if you grew up in a Christian home, and you have grandparents praying for you, you have parents praying for you, you have uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters praying for you as a young person, I hope you've never taken that for granted. And I hope you have the opportunity to go back and say thank you to the people in your life that have a spiritual heritage, that have brought you up in the Lord. It hasn't been perfect, but you have that spiritual heritage. And I think many Christ followers, if we're being honest, that grew up in the church, that grew up with Christian families, have taken advantage of that or taken it for granted. I want to remind you today, do not take it for granted. Be content in that. Be thankful for that. So I know parenting is hard. Parenting is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And many of you have raised children that are adults now and married and have their own kids, and you are grandparents today. And you can look back and say, oh, I wish I could have done this better. I say that almost every day of my life when it comes to parenting. But here's one thing I know. The God we serve, Jesus, and the Bible we have, there's tools there to equip us as parents, to equip us to bring our children up in this world that is broken, that is sinful. But it has to start with our hearts with Jesus first. Are you content in your circumstances? Are you content with the relationship with Jesus, and do you want it to continue to grow? Because oftentimes when we're content in our faith with Christ, we don't want to grow anymore because we just stay where we are. We stay stagnant, and we wave the white flag, and we're like, no, I'm good. I've been at this for a long time. I'm good. But when was the last time you decided that I need to grow in my faith with Christ? I need to deepen my relationship with Jesus. I need to deepen my relation with my kids. See, when Paul alludes to the secret of being content, it's all focused on Jesus. And in spite of his life, all the heavy circumstances he went through, he kept his eyes on Christ. He kept his eyes on Christ. He considered all things rubbish outside of Jesus. Can you imagine having that attitude every single day of our lives? And how that would rub off on our kids, how that would rub off on the way we bring up our children, how well that would rub off with each other in the church today. Now, as we think about this, and I talked about this last week as well, and I want to finish with this morning. I don't know where you are today. I'm not sure where you're at with your children. Again, no matter where they are on the age spectrum, if they're married and have kids, do you have a good relationship with them? Do you have kids that are single? Do you have a good relationship with them? Do you have kids that are walking far from Christ today? Do you have kids currently under your roof that you're bringing up that you're worried about their future when it comes to their faith and the choices they're making? Do they really love Christ? Or are they just doing it because they have no other choice because they're under your household? And what happens when they graduate and leave your household? Will they still follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You know, statistics have said when somebody turns 18 and they graduate at high school, those numbers are staggering about how many leave the church. And that's why it's imperative for us as parents to lay the groundwork to bring our children up in the Lord, to surround them with love and joy and forgiveness and hope that comes in Christ. At the end of the day, we cannot make our kids follow Jesus, and they might make a choice down the road and say, it was good for me at that point, but I'm done. And I've heard that from so many parents, and that's one of the things that keeps me up at night. Where will my kids be in 20 years? Where will my kids be in 5 years when it comes to following Jesus? So if you come here this morning, I want you to pray for your heart to be content in where God has placed you in your life. Don't look at what's better and bigger out there. Accept the reality of the life you have in front of you and count it all joy. Because you're upright this morning, amen? Do you look at life through the lens of eternity? I am not saying your lives aren't hard. I know many of the things you're going through today. I am not saying it's easy. But we serve a God that is so big, that is so faithful. Do you know that today? Do you know what it means to be content in Jesus Christ? I hope you do. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to spend just a moment in silent prayer. And I want you to start there with your heart. Ask the Lord to search your heart. Ask him, Lord, am I content with you? Am I looking at you as all I need in my life? If not, what are the things that are distracting me from allowing you to be the full focus of my life? And I also want you to consider this. If you have kids this morning that are young adults now, married perhaps, that have wandered from the faith, that are no longer following Jesus, I want you to pray about that this morning as well, as we spend time silently praying. If you have others in your life that you're still raising at home with your children, I want you to pray that their foundation in Christ would be grounded in the scriptures, and that you as a parent would take full responsibility to help that child be discipled and to raise the bar and to say, I'm all in. I'll do whatever it takes to help my child know about Christ. And if you are here this morning and you have children that are just serving the kingdom with such fervor and joy and passion, celebrate that. And there's many categories in between, and we'll let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. Now, as we wrap this up today and we wrap up the series again, I just want to remind you that at the end of the day, and my focus wasn't to give you all these strategic plans and philosophies and how to be a great parent. We did those things, but we focus on the scriptures. We focus on the Bible. We focus on Jesus. We focus on the Holy Spirit. We focused on the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives so we can become like Jesus, and our kids need that. So I encourage you to look at the Bible. It gives us what we need. Don't discount it. So I encourage you as a parent this morning, keep the fight. Keep fighting. Don't give up. Do not give up. It's a hard thing, but our kids need us. So let's spend just a minute here in silent prayer as those things I mentioned. If something else comes to your mind that you want to pray into, I encourage you to do that. I hope through this mini-series you were encouraged and challenged and uncomfortable a little bit. And so as you consider that this morning, let's spend some time just praying, and I'll just wrap us up in a few minutes here. Lord Jesus, we come this morning and we're thankful for another day of life, even though this day might be very heavy for some of us and the things we're facing. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us the strength and the wisdom we need, and that we would be able to say in our heart of hearts that we are content because of you, Jesus. And Lord, one of the things we discovered in this series was the idea of looking at our own choices, looking at the conviction of our heart, looking at our character as men and women, as parents. And Lord, if there's things in our life today even that we are doing that are causing our children to look at us and to call us possibly being hypocritical in what we're saying and doing when it comes to the gospel. I pray, Father, we would own that. We would confess that and make it right with you and others as well. That we would not speak out of both ends of our mouth, Lord, even though it's so difficult at times that we walk in the flesh, I know, and I pray that we would not do that. I pray against the flesh, Lord. I pray that we'd walk in the power of the Spirit. I thank you for parents. I thank you for their hard work. I thank you for the many times they stay up late at night when their children are sick, where they're helping train their children in the ways of righteousness, where they're having to have hard conversations and hold them accountable. I pray, Lord, you give parents mercy and grace and strength and a reminder that they are doing what they can do. And I pray you just give them what they need. And I thank you for our children. I thank you for the blessing they are. And I know many have wandered away from the faith that are older, and I pray those children would return. I pray, Lord, those parents whose hearts are grieving this morning, that they would continue to pray and encourage and to still stand by their side. And Lord, for those children that are under our roof today that we're still raising up, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd give us again courage and a deep desire to want to train our kids into the Lord, Lord, with the scriptures and knowing full well we are not perfect. And our kids would know that there is forgiveness, there is grace. Lord, I thank you for each one this morning, for those watching online. I pray as we leave today that if there's anybody here that has come to a place today where they are tired, where they are wanting to wave the white flag and give up, where they are discouraged, Lord, I pray that we as a community can rally around, that you give us opportunity to share those struggles in a safe place so we can pray for one another. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the work you're doing. And Lord, we're grateful for each one. And for those who are traveling as well, and for those who are going to be listening later, that, Lord, just show us how we can be content in our lives. And I pray today when we leave, our focus would be back to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.